Welcome to the Family Story Podcast, where we talk about family relationships, important family events, and most of all, family stories that can be passed on for generations to come. I'm your host, Rick Jensen, and I'm glad you've joined us today. So sit back, listen, learn, and love as we talk about your family in this episode of the Family Story Podcast. Welcome to the Family Story Podcast. Today in our studio, we have Elder Jaden Wyason, who just recently came back from the England Manchester Mission. Welcome, Jaden. We're so happy to have you here in our studio today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be back.
Yeah. Today we're just going to talk a little bit about your mission. So let's just take you back right to the beginning. You got your call. How did you feel about England?
Oh, I was very, very relieved because, first of all, it was English speaking, which I was very happy about. Learning a language, it would have been fun, but I was excited to be able to teach the gospel in my native language. And then just England in general, it just sounds great. It's just got a good ring to it, the England Manchester Mission.
Had you ever been to England before?
I hadn't, no.
As you arrived, what kind of things stuck out to you? You know, some people have culture shock when they go to a different country. What stuck out to you?
Yeah, well, I'd say being from, you know, this region of kind of the Midwest of the United States, going to England was a big shock because of the green, because of the rolling hills and the amount of rain and water there. Because the climate, it's very, very tropical, but it's always raining, like always. And so that was a big shock to me, but it was really nice to see all the green. And I remember getting on the plane, and we were flying into Manchester when I first got to England, and they were handing out papers for us to fill out for customs when we went into the country. And they were asking people if they were American or British. And I started hearing these British accents all over the place around me. And I was so excited. I just felt like I was in a movie.
So did you pick up a British accent?
Not really, because in Northern England, it's very much not what you'd expect it to be. Because in movies in Hollywood, the accent that we have in our mind is all kind of Southern England. Mm-hmm. And then the further north you go, you get closer to Scotland, and it just changes drastically.
What kind of accent do they have?
Well, I served in a couple areas over in Liverpool. The accent is called Scouse. If you're a Liverpudlian, you're a Scouser, and it's kind of like a, hey, you're right, mate. I want to go for a park walk. You want to go to some Mackies?
Wow. So what did you just say?
So I said, hey, you want to go for a walk in the park and get some McDonald's?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Was that hard for you to adjust to?
It was. Thankfully, I went to Liverpool after being in England for quite some time, about 18 months. So I had at least adjusted to some of the lingo around the area. So I just had to pick up on kind of the speed that they speak goodness. In.
Yeah. What was your favorite part about serving in those areas?
Ooh, I served in a lot of really historic areas for everything, for the world, but also for the church. Mm-hmm. In our mission, that's where a lot of the first missionaries in the church went to, like Brigham Young and Heber C. Kimball and Dan Jones and all these great missionaries. And Liverpool, or the docks of Liverpool, is where, you know, I think it was between, like, in the mid to late 1800s, there was about 70,000 Latter-day Saints that left the docks of Liverpool heading over west.
Wow. How did that make you feel serving in that area that some of the first missionaries of the Church of Jesus Christ had served in?
It was amazing because at least my mom's side of the family, that's when they came. You know, that's when they got to America. My mom's side is very English and Welsh, and it was an exciting thing to kind of be right where they would have walked through to get me where I am today.
Did you feel any type of connection with the people because of that?
I did. I would say one of the trickiest parts about serving a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ is that you need to really love the people. You know, it can't feel like a job. You know, and developing that love, that sincere love towards these people of a very different culture, people that you've never met before, it's interesting. Because when you meet someone random on the street, your first thought isn't typically like, wow, I love this person. But knowing of the history of England and what it's done for my family and what it's done for the church, it's often called the cradle of the Restoration, or in other words, the English saints are commonly known as the people that saved the church in the early days, because they came over and they reinforced it. And so that gave me a lot of strength in building that love for them, just because I know that the life that I live, that I find so amazing, is very heavily attributed to England.
That's beautiful. Thank you. You talk about learning to love the people and learning to serve the people, but there's always people who you connect with more, and maybe even you could say love more. If you were to think about your mission and you could choose one person, who is that person? Tell me their story.
Ooh, okay. So there's a boy named Blake. Blake, when I met him, I had been on my mission for about 6 months. He was 11 years old, and he was not a member of the church. We met him when we were going by some other members in the area, and he had some family members that were members of the church. And so we ran into Blake, and right off the bat, he really impressed me, because at 11 years old, so many of what he spoke of was that he wanted to grow closer to Jesus Christ. And this was quite amazing, coming from an 11-year-old, just his kind of desire to have faith and to trust in God. And so we started meeting with Blake quite regularly to teach him about God and about Jesus Christ.
How did his family feel about that? How did the relationship work with them?
Yeah, well, there was one time in particular when my companion, his name was Elder Edwards, we were driving and we wanted to go see Blake, and it was nearing Christmas time, and we decided, we were like, We should give them something. We should give a gift, you know, to kind of build a relationship, build trust, and just show that we love them and care about them and are grateful for their support for Blake. And previously we had bought a lot of chocolate from the store, because in England they don't really do like here we do. You know, Secret Santa, as some people call it, where you place something on the doorstep and ring the doorbell and run away. Mm-hmm. They don't really do that in England. So it was really fun for us to just go buy chocolate and go do it for members and people, because they were so caught off guard. And so we pulled this chocolate out of the boot of our car, the trunk, but they call it the boot in England. Mm-hmm. You got the boot and the bonnet is the hood. But we grab this chocolate out and we go into their home, and Blake's grandmother was there, and we go, hey, we wanted to just show how much we love you and are grateful for you, and we wanted to give you this. And it was a box of chocolates, and she just was so touched, and she looks at us and goes, how did you know it was my birthday? Oh. And we were just like, you know, we felt that you needed this today. We felt that you needed this chocolate, so we wanted to bring it to you. And she's like, and how did you know that this is my favorite chocolate? And Elder Edwards and I on the inside were just blowing up with excitement. We're like, this is it. We have won the family. We have made it. And it was so great, because we left that house and there was just a different atmosphere. You could just feel the gratitude and the sincerity. Like, his grandmother was very, very touched by this. And I think that in and of itself kind of testified to me that the Spirit is in the work that we do. You know, I do not think that that was just our coincidence or our intuition. I think that the hand of God played a part in that because it proved to be very special in building up a relationship with Blake's family.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. So everything was great after that.
There was some hard times, but he was very, very faithful through it all. You know, he was probably the most mature young man I've ever met because he was very independent in his decision making and his desire to meet with us. Often it would just be him engaging in discussion with us. And through all this, well, we taught him for about 6 months when I was in that area, and then the COVID-19 pandemic came along, and that mixed with other challenges prevented him from being baptized. He really wanted to become a member of the church, but at the time with everything going on, he was not able to. But it was a very special experience for me because last week on Monday, I actually got the privilege of being able to baptize Blake 18 months after I had initially met him.
Wow.
So just a few days before I came back to America, I got to see my friend that had been so diligent receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the best part is because of all the preparation he had put into this and all the time that he had spent learning about the gospel, he could feel the change in his life when he received the gift of the Holy Ghost, when he became a member of the church. And it was very special for him, which was quite incredible for me to witness.
That's neat. That's awesome. You mentioned the COVID-19 pandemic. Tell us about that, because you've served when it started, and now it's kind of coming to a close, if you will, if things go right. What's it like to serve a mission in the middle of all of COVID, and you did it all? You didn't come home early. You were there the whole time. Tell me about that. What's that like? How does that work for a missionary who usually goes out and talks to people and meets people all day long?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because you're right. I left on my mission in April of 2019, and a mission is 2 years long, which means that a year from when I got to England was when the pandemic came along. So my mission was split perfectly in half, a year of knocking on doors and talking to people in the streets. And then when COVID-19 came, it was difficult at first because, you know, we got locked down, stuck in our flats, and being, you know, missionaries of tradition, you know, knocking on doors and talking to people in the streets has been done for a very long time. Mm-hmm. We were a little lost, and it was a special experience because we got to see that turning to prayer and to the scriptures actually led to solutions for the problems that we were facing. For example, there's a scripture in the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Helaman, that talks about how the Nephites, they had run out of timber to build their houses, so they resorted to building their houses out of cement. And so kind of a motto in our mission for that time was learning how to use cement. It was learning how to adapt to the situation that we were placed in. Contentment with that which is allotted unto us, as the Book of Mormon would say. And when we did this, we started doing Facebook advertisements. I got to work a lot on Instagram, which was very special. We would go through, we would friend everybody, we would make videos and post them and respond to any reactions or comments or likes. And through this, we were able to meet so many people. There were weeks when we would have upwards of 10 people that would want to learn more about the restored gospel from just me and the other missionary that I was working with. And we hadn't even left our apartment that week. You know, we just got to go on our phones, go online, and meet people who were searching for faith, who were struggling with this pandemic, as a lot of people were. And we were able to teach them through video call, and through messages and videos. And it was very special to see that this pandemic did not put a halt to the missionary work, but eventually it actually accelerated it.
Hmm. Tell me the difference between teaching someone live in person and teaching someone online.
Well, that's an interesting question, because in person, you can read body language. You can kind of feel in the air who's going to speak next. You know, you're always teaching with another missionary. Whereas over video call, a lot of that is very different. It can be harder to tell what they might be thinking, and you have those awkward quirks and things. But what we noticed is that especially this younger generation is so much more willing to have a video call than perhaps to meet up in person. So we actually started seeing more people keep their first time that they set with us to meet again once we were doing it over video call, because we just got to ring them up over WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger and keep it very brief, 15, 20 minutes, share something that was special to us about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and invite them to do something between that point and our next phone call. And it turned out to be really effective and a really good experience for us and for the people that we were teaching.
So how do you feel like the two teaching methods compared with each other?
Well, there were certainly, I would say, almost advantages to teaching over video call, because, for example, say you're teaching someone, and as a missionary, there's a big emphasis on teaching like Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ taught people to what they needed, what they yearned for. And so as missionaries, we were always trying to help people with what they were searching for, not just teach our scripted thing. But over video call, we were able to get to know people, get to know their needs and their desires, what mattered most to them. And based on what we learned, if we needed to take the call a different way, if we wanted to talk about something else, it was nice because we could just temporarily mute it and turn to each other and say, I think that we should talk about this with them. And then we could unmute it and keep going. And we were also able to have technology like another phone or scriptures on our desk right in front of us, so that while we were teaching them, we were able to have access to all these things, notes that we might have taken or scripture references, whatever it may be. And so it was fun to be able to learn how you could kind of work together with your other missionary companion. Uh-huh. And find ways that you could adapt and use the benefits of technology.
Which do you prefer to teach in? Would you rather teach in person or over video?
I think for first lessons with people, maybe the first couple, video, because it establishes a good, they feel comfortable. They don't feel like they're going too much out of their shell as to actually go meet with someone, but you're able to build a genuine friendship. And then I would say after you have that, go teach them in person. Once there's an actual connection there between you and your friend.
So kind of a hybrid model.
Then. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you. You just mentioned one challenge that you had while serving your mission, and missions can be really hard. Could you tell us what was one of the most difficult things or difficult days that you experienced on your mission?
Because missions are fun and they're great, but they're also hard.
Yeah. So you're very right. Missions, they're not an easy task. There's a lot of challenges, and there's things that you've never experienced before, but you're out there on your own and you're kind of forced to rely on the Lord for guidance and answers as to what you should do next. There was one day in particular where my companion and I, we were walking in a park. I remember we had just finished a wonderful conversation with two women that were sitting on a bench, and we actually got a time to teach both of them in the coming week. This was in my very first area, probably second month on the mission. And my companion and I can't remember what it was about, but we got in a disagreement about something. And having been not out for very long on my mission, I started having a really hard time that day. It started kicking in, how long and difficult the next 2 years were going to be. And I remember sitting with him on a bench in front of this monument in front of a church building, an old church. And this monument, it was a tall wooden pillar, and it said, it was etched in, "May peace prevail on earth." And at the time, I don't really know what was going through my head. I think I just wanted to remember the moment. I pulled out my camera and I took a selfie, kind of making like a bit of a frustrated, in a joking way, face, so that I could kind of, remember what I was feeling at the time and learn from it in the future, maybe. And then I turned my camera around and I took a picture of that monument. And a year and a half later, more than that, probably 22 months later, I only had a couple weeks to go on my mission, and I was scrolling through photos, and I saw that photo. And when I looked at it, what was interesting to me is I distinctly remember what I was feeling on that day. I remember that it was a hard day, but I don't remember what was so hard about it. I know that my companion and I, we got in a disagreement, but I can't remember why in my mind I classed that as one of the most difficult days of my mission. And that really showed me something, that despite the difficult times that do come, they're always, through the atonement of Jesus Christ, 100% completely overshadowed by the good that you see. If you seek it out, and if you work hard and are diligent on your mission, you remember those good times. I will remember baptizing Blake for the rest of my life and beyond that. Those moments where I had a disagreement with a companion or I was homesick, those don't stick out in my mind, because I've seen that Jesus Christ gives us strength in ways that, as Jacob in the Book of Mormon says, it's the word that healeth the wounded soul. And you can see he just covers those dark moments up. He takes the lessons that you learn from them, and he gives those to you, and he helps you, progress and become better after it. But you don't have to deal with the grief in the future. You don't have to deal with the pain that it brought, which was a very special lesson for me.
Yeah, that's a great lesson to learn. Other lessons that you learned, the other most important lessons, because the one you just shared with us is wonderful. What else did you learn that you think is really important that might impact your life in the future?
When the COVID-19 pandemic came, it was very easy to think, okay, when this is over, when things are back to normal, all these when questions, or not when questions, but setting the expectation that things would get better after this. And what maybe caught me off guard is that things got much better during that. And advice that I would give to my future self, or to maybe young men and women that are wanting to serve missions, is that whatever you're called to do at that specific time in your life is what you're meant to be doing. You're not meant to be a placeholder, or you're not meant to keep the seat warm until things go back to normal, because it was easy as a missionary to feel, well, I guess we're manning the fort until things go back. But no, wherever we're placed in life, there's opportunities ahead and there's miracles ahead. And we can turn to the scriptures, we can turn to Jesus Christ, and we can learn what those are. We can actually learn what we're meant to do in those circumstances. Mm.
That message is so full of hope. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. You're a talented young man, and there are many people who say that talents play a part in their opportunity to serve the Lord. How did your talents play a part in your missionary service?
Well, here's a funny story. When I was set apart as a missionary. When I, the day that I put the missionary name tag on and got sent out, I got, it was a blessing from a leader in the church. So he put his hands on my head and he, it's like a prayer where he gave me guidance and comfort and support as to my mission ahead. And as he said this prayer, as he said this blessing, he told me that I would be using all of my talents on my mission, all of my skills. And I love to dance. I'm a dancer. I do hip hop, street dancing, break dancing, that type of stuff. And I got to the mission and I was very quickly informed that apparently missionaries don't dance. I was told that in the missionary training center. And I was like, okay, I'll wait till I get out of this place and then I can dance. And then I went to my actual mission and I met the man that kind of oversees all the missionaries. And again, I was told that missionaries don't dance. And I was so caught off guard. I was like, man, I thought I was going to be using all my talents. I was so excited. And so I went through about a year of my mission, and I slipped it in when I could. You know, I danced for some people on the street when they wanted me to. But for the most part, I kind of kept it to myself. And then lockdown in the pandemic came. We started doing Facebook advertisements. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, this is an opportunity. Yeah. And I turned straight to dance. And because that this was something that we had never before experienced, we got to do things that we had never before done in missionary work. And so I started making dance videos and posting them on social media and pushing them out as Facebook advertisements. And it was incredible. I got to see people want to learn more about Jesus Christ because they saw me doing something that I'm passionate about. It was like, it was a dream come true.
That's great. That's a great story. Thanks for sharing that.
Now, missionaries have their best days, and I have a question that I would like to ask you that I ask a lot of the missionaries that come and interview on the Family Story podcast. If you could relive a day on your mission that's not the one that you talked about with Blake, what day would that be?
Ooh, I'll have to think about that one for a sec. I don't know about a specific day, but there's a week that comes to mind. And this week was actually kind of a more difficult week in my mission, but I had some very, very special experiences in that week that I've, you know, I have recorded in my journal, but it would be something that I would love to relive almost throughout my life just so that I could be reminded of the things that I felt and experienced. This week, it started out, we had a video call with a friend named Andrea, who we were teaching, who was getting ready to be baptized. She was getting ready to become a member of the church. And we were having this video call lesson, and I got such a strong impression that I needed to, just right there in that lesson, add my mission president into it. And my mission president, the one that oversees all the missionaries in the area, very, very busy man. He has more or less 100 children that he's trying to watch over. And he has a lot to do. And it was a Sunday afternoon, so particularly busy time for him. And I just said, Andrea, can we add this man? Can we add our mission president into the lesson? And she said yes. And when I hit dial on his number, I knew with full confidence that he was going to answer. And he did. And when he answered, Andrea, without saying too much about it, she just shared things with him and with us that helped so much in, you know, knowing how we could help her come closer to Christ. And she received help from President Johnson in that moment that was priceless. And even though it was simple, that was a very special experience for me because I knew, without a doubt, that it was the Holy Spirit. it was the Holy Ghost that prompted this, because if she would have shared the things she did with just my companion and myself, we wouldn't have been able to give her the help or the counsel she needed. We wouldn't have known what to say. And just knowing that the Lord was in that lesson, that video, we had two, three video calls a week with Andrea, just knowing that he cares enough about her, that he was there and he told us in that very moment what she needed. And that's something I hope I never forget.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Missionaries have the opportunity to share their testimony a lot on their mission. Would you be willing to share your testimony with us today?
Absolutely. So my testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ is built on the atonement of Jesus Christ. The atonement was brought forth as he suffered and experienced our pain. The things that we would go through in this life, he felt that. And I don't know how, and I don't know what exactly he experienced. I don't know how he could know what it feels like for me to fail a test or to experience heartbreak or a death in the family. All I know is that as a missionary, every time a door got shut on us or I was feeling homesick, there was a scripture that I would recite to myself. It's in the Book of Mormon. It's in 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 29. And it says, "Now behold, I say unto you that the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not. And Christ is the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore, ye must bow down before him and worship him with all your heart, might, and strength, with your whole soul, or with all your might, mind, and strength, and with your whole soul. And if ye do so, ye shall in no wise be cast out." And I would quote that scripture to myself, and every time I did, I felt strengthened. I felt that he was there with me. I know that he is our Savior, and that he knows what we feel. And that when he felt it, he saw our faces. He knew the names for which he was suffering for. And that was worth it to him because he loves us enough to trade his life, his comfort, his freedom, and his, I'm sure it wasn't a happy experience for him in any sense of the word. It was worth it to him to trade that for us, for his friends and his brothers and sisters. I know that the Church of Jesus Christ is the true and living church. There's truth about him all over the world, but this church has the pathway that Christ led out, showed us to get closer to him. And I've experienced that, and I pray with all my heart that I will be able to hold on to these memories and these experiences that I've had on my mission, because if I do, I will never be able to deny that Jesus is the Christ. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. That's beautifully said. Thank you, Jaden. You know, you would have family members who are listening to this, maybe even future posterity who listens to this. What message would you like to give to them?
Being in England, I learned a lot. And one of the things that I learned is that a life with the gospel of Jesus Christ will far surpass a life without it. In joy, in peace, in hope, Christ is the Prince of Peace, and anybody who I had the chance to say this to, I would just plead with them to do as Alma invites them to in the Book of Mormon and exercise a little faith, a little hope, to take those steps into the dark, read the scriptures, pray, see if God will speak to you in a way that's very personal to you. And if you do that, your faith will grow. You will gradually experience the promised blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there will come a time when you realize that there's no other source that these blessings could be coming from than Jesus Christ.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. We sure appreciate you joining us on our podcast today.
Oh, it was fantastic to be here. I'm grateful you asked me. I'm grateful I got to reflect on these experiences from my mission and the things that I've learned. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to get a hold of Jaden or would like to write a letter about this podcast or ask further questions, you can email guest@familystorypodcast.com and we'll get those questions sent over to Jaden so that he might be able to answer.
Thanks again for joining us. We hope you have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Family Story Podcast is a production of Harmony Audio Recordings. This podcast is strictly prohibited for use without permission. For more information about Family Story Podcast or to create your own Family Story Podcast, contact us at familystorypodcast.com. We hope you join us again soon and encourage you to go create a family memory today.